In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Well, strap in, because I'm going to preach all the sermons that I did not preach over the last 7 years to you this morning. But I smell something wafting through the walls, and it smells like bacon, so this is going to be really quick. A little over a year ago, I stood in the ruins of the theater at Miletus, the city from which Paul, some of the leaders of the church at Ephesus. A few days before, I had spent an entire day rambling through the magnificent ruins of Ephesus, where Paul had planted a church and had almost gotten himself and his followers killed. It is very clear from the passage that you heard read from Acts today that Paul deeply loved the people of the Ephesian church. He spent quite a bit of time there, and they in turn loved him deeply too. This farewell scene in Acts is part of a turning point in Paul's journey, compelled by his personal experience of the risen Christ. Paul had traveled extensively throughout the Eastern Mediterranean, establishing communities of Christ followers. And now he senses that things are about to change and that this phase of his life is coming to a close. And the time has come for him to close out that chapter, to say goodbye, and begin the next. As I sat in the ruins of those theaters at Ephesus and Miletus by myself, this was during COVID, by the way, no other tourists around, I found myself identifying with what Paul must have felt during that period of his life. And it became clear to me that my time with you should begin to come to a close. Now, one of the gifts this parish has given to me, this is my seventh parish to serve in ministry. And I think each of those parishes have given a gift to me that I've carried with me and probably will to the day I die. One of the gifts that you have given to me is a deeper understanding of the concept of pilgrimage. Since I've been here, I've made lots of pilgrimages with a good number of you. We've been to the Holy Land. We've walked the Portuguese way to Santiago de Compostela. We've been to Guatemala. We've been out to Shaw Island, which is almost like another country in and of itself, right? My sabbatical theme last year was that of Christian pilgrimage, and I chose that because I thought that was the greatest gift that this parish had given to me. And that allowed me to explore the journeys of Paul and other Christians in Turkey, to walk St. Cuthbert's Way in Scotland, and then the unknown saint I'd never heard of until I did it, St. Kenelm in the English Cotswolds. And there are lots of you in this room who've taken your own pilgrimages. And some of you are going to start one pretty soon. For me, pilgrimages of any duration have this way of compressing the experience of all of life into a 1 day, a 10 day, or a 40 day time period. It's just amazing what happens when you do that. You experience all the twists and turns, all the joys and sorrows of life in that short period of time. Now, in a broader sense, all of us who call this parish our spiritual home, we've been on a pilgrimage the last 7 years, a pilgrimage of change and growth. Like a day on the Camino in Portugal or St. Paul's Way in Turkey, there have been twists and turns to negotiate, hills and mountains that needed to be climbed, and weary and discouraged hearts in need of refreshment and renewal, especially after the last 2 years. Aren't we glad we're here today? It's very different from how it was in April of 2020. And thanks be to God, there have been joyous celebrations and occasions for grateful reflection when good work was accomplished for the sake of God's kingdom. And thanks be to God, there have been more joyful occasions than not, lots more. I chose these scripture readings today from a list recommended by the liturgy rubrics for the day, because each of these scripture passages represent critical junctures or stages in the life of three leaders of the people of God: Moses, Peter, and Paul. Now, Moses has had quite a journey, hasn't he? Leading the people of God out of slavery in Egypt into freedom. It has been a long and arduous journey. And by the way, I'm not going away to die on Mount Nebo. I do plan to live 120 years and to have my full eyesight and be full of vigor like Moses was at 120. But now here Moses stands on Mount Nebo. He's looking over into the land of promise, the land of promised freedom. But he himself will not be able to go into that land, because his role was to prepare and raise up the next generation of leaders who would do that. And so I give you, the people of this parish, a charge: build a strong, vibrant church for the next generation. Attend to the present. You're going to have to do that, especially over the next few months. But pledge this day to lead the next generation of Good Samaritans, a parish that is alive and growing, a parish that is a transformative agent in this community. Fast forwarding over to the gospel, Peter is pulled aside by Jesus for a chat in this scene that you heard read in the gospel reading. Now, a lot of you know the context of that story. Peter's probably embarrassed because he has not spoken privately with Jesus since he denied him three times on the night of Jesus' trial. Perhaps Peter fears what Jesus is going to say to him. But this, if this is ever the gospel encapsulated in a moment, it is this one. Jesus does not give him a dressing down or level an accusation. Jesus knows Peter. He knows that Peter has deep regrets and sorrow. And what he says to Peter, at least this is my translation: Peter, I know you love me. I know you love me. If you love me, then show me by taking care of my people. And my charge to you this day is to love and care for one another just as Jesus loves and cares for you. I'm going to say that again. Love and care for one another just as Jesus sacrificially loves and cares for you. Imprint the new commandment that Jesus gave to his followers on the night he was betrayed. Do you remember it? A new commandment I give you: love one another as I have loved you. Jesus went on to say, people will know. This is how they will know. This is sermon number two. People will know you are Christians, not because of your political party, not because of the name on the denomination. They will know you because you love one another. End of sermon number three. Now back to this Ephesians reading, or the Acts reading about the church at Ephesus. As I mentioned early, Paul is kind of retiring from missionary work. And he calls for these Ephesian leaders to come and meet him. Now, at some point, tradition tells us that Paul wrote a letter to that church, to the church at Ephesus, and he praises that congregation for their spiritual maturity and the vibrant way in which they're living out the gospel in their everyday life. I think if Paul had a favorite child church, Ephesus, along with the church at Philippi, would probably be his two favorite churches, because they weren't fighting and fussing all the time. But as always in Paul's letters, he is concerned about the unity of the church, about their unity of purpose and mission. And while recognizing that there will be differences and disagreements, he urges them above all things to protect the unity of the church. Sisters and brothers, without unity of spirit and purpose, the mission of the gospel will never, ever be effective. And my charge to you as I take my leave of you is protect leaders, protect the unity of this congregation. Keep the people focused not on your particular mission or your particular vision, but on the mission and vision of God. And that mission and vision is to reconcile all people, everyone, to God and to one another. Stand firm in your resolve to keep the main thing, the main thing. Now, if you read Scripture and then kind of back up from it a little bit, and these three passages we've read today undergird that understanding of Scripture that pilgrimage is a recurring theme, journey. And if I've learned one thing about God throughout my lifetime, God is a God of the pilgrim and the pilgrimage. God is always, always calling us to leave one place and go to another. Sometimes that involves a geographical relocation. God is not calling everyone to go to Portugal, although if you want to go, we can help you out with that. We're going to do that in, 9 days from now. But more often than not, the pilgrimage that God is accompanying you on is calling you to go from one place to the next, right where you are. And for everyone who follows Jesus, it is always an inward journey of the soul, isn't it? You know, some scientists say that the last frontier to be explored and known is the ocean. I don't believe that. It's one of them. But how many of us have gone in to the journey of a soul, our soul, to the depth of it, which is what God calls us to, the inward journey that each of us is called to make in this life, is the great frontier yet to be explored by all of us. And the promise of Scripture, and it is declared over and over and over again, do not be afraid to go from here to there. Don't be afraid to go to the next place. Don't be afraid to follow my call. It may lead to twists and turns. It may not be clear at this point. But I will be with you. Do not be afraid. It is God who guides us. God will guide me. God will guide David and me. God will guide you through the twists and turns of the journey of life, always leading us to that next place. And those places are usually unknown. but always a good thing because it is the Lord who leads us there. Now today, our journey together as priest and congregation ends for a time. But because we seek to follow Jesus in the way of love, so that's what this is all about. And because love is eternal, then surely that love, and as the psalmist sings, surely goodness and mercy, and I'll add love, surely goodness and mercy and love will follow us all the days of our lives. And we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Together. Forever. Alleluia.
Alleluia.
Amen. You're a good congregation.